This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to District Baseball. It is a very special episode. Normally I say jam-packed, but this one's a little bit special. It was a great week of baseball, but a heavy week of baseball at the same time. Obviously, if you're watching on YouTube, which you should be, you saw the tribute to Willie Mays, a legend, and probably that's an understatement to what Willie Mays meant to the game, but a legend passed this week. And obviously got a lot of people thinking about the history of our great game and just what baseball means to a lot of people. And obviously the path that Willie Mays, among so many others, played this week. So that's going to be the topic of this week's episode, not just Willie Mays, but the game at Rickwood Field, all of the highlights beyond just the game that was played as well. It was a really special week of baseball. I can't wait to jump into it and talk about it. And I'm very happy to be back. Trey, thank you for holding down the fort. But Trey, what's going on?
Nick, yeah, I mean, I think you described it perfectly. It was a heavy week of baseball, but also a great celebration of not just Willie Mays, but the Negro Leagues and everything that went into it. And I thought it was a great broadcast overall. We'll get to that, but I think we're going to start just talking about the life and career of Willie Mays and just kind of riffing on that, because I mean, first of all, the originally he was also supposed to be a part of the Rickwood festivities. Obviously, the timing was pretty crazy of his passing. So it was unfortunate that he wasn't able to see the game be played, but he did. He was able to issue a statement, I know, before he passed. And the thing about Willie Mays is he's this icon, this American hero, and this baseball god, and it's almost like he's untouchable. And then but all the stories are all about how humble he was, how gracious he was, and how much fun he had playing baseball. And the thing that stuck with me is his last statement was that he focused all of it on his teammates, celebrating his teammates, as opposed to himself, even though it's obvious we're going to celebrate the great Willie Mays. He's probably the best player all around to ever play the game. And yet he was so humble up until his passing. I mean, he's just a great ambassador for how the game should be played, with respect, but also with a ton of enjoyment. I mean, the dude never didn't have a smile on his face. I mean, pretty much every story you hear is all about how he made the game fun to watch. He made the game fun to play. And he also happened to be an absolute elite talent. I think that probably made him better in the end, was the fact that he just had such a love for the game. But yeah, it was just a huge bummer that he passed before the game. But obviously, you know, the Sandlot quote is pretty apt here. You know, legends never die. And I don't think Willie Mays' impact on the game will never not be felt. I mean, every time a guy makes a decent catch in the outfield, it's a Mays style catch. And yet, you know, he has the original, the catch, most iconic play, one of the most iconic plays in baseball history. It's just like, I don't think that can ever be matched. It's like he is on this pedestal, and yet he's also such a down to earth guy. I mean, there was the stories of him playing stickball in Harlem with the kids after games. Like, he just had a lot of fun. He had a lot of enjoyment for life. He had a lot of enjoyment for baseball. And obviously he's a huge part of why we all love this game.
Yeah. You put it perfectly with something you said there. Obviously it was a great sentiment all around, but what you said in the middle, he's one of the best baseball players to ever play the game. It's not just like a person of color. Obviously, that was a large part in what he meant to so many, just being a role model for, you know, so many that would come after him and follow in his footsteps and build upon what he was able to do in a very difficult time. And obviously do so in an amazing level. Truly one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And somehow with all of his accomplishments doesn't get enough credit. And you know, it's just, yeah, it's unfortunate timing that we're not we, but like collectively trying to give him some more flowers with the kind of celebration with the game at Rickwood, and you know he unfortunately passed, but you know it's still important to talk about what he meant and what he did and just how good of a ball player he was, because
yeah, I mean we could talk pure numbers, right? And it could take us an hour. That's
like, he obviously meant so much more than just pure statistical numbers, but it's almost hard as like a diehard baseball fan not to talk about the stats, because he was so damn good. And you know, he's someone that should be remembered for all time, not just, you know, in this one small pocket of baseball's history. So it was just, you know, it's fun to look back on in celebration, right? Obviously it's a very sad and heavy moment, but you know, the whole idea of everything that has gone on in this past week has been, you know, in celebration and also just recognition especially for some of the players that weren't properly recognized, you know, while they were playing, for obviously despicable reasons. Yeah. But you know, it is still a celebration, and Willie Mays was truly one of the greats of all time, and you know, he should be remembered as such.
Yeah, and you know, I think we should go over some crazy numbers real quick, because I got them pulled up.
He was so damn good.
I mean, the man himself was incredible as a person. Mm-hmm. But just listen to these stats. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I believe he was one of the only players in baseball history to hit 50 home runs 10 years apart. He did it in the 1955 season, which was the season after he won the World Series and the MVP. And then he did it in his MVP 1965 season. So that was exactly 10 years apart. I believe he's one of the only players to do that. And he led the league in homers. He led the league in stolen bases, on base percentage, batting average at various points in his career. He had 24 All-Star appearances. And I was like, I never put it together that there's like, I was like, wait, he can't have 24 All-Star appearances.
That's
but
so
I actually, I didn't realize they used to have two games. So he made two All-Star teams in like four straight seasons. So I was like, that doesn't make sense. But yeah, no, it makes sense, because they had two of them, which actually kind of makes more sense as a whole, because you know, All-Star selections are just based on the first half now. So it's like,
basically, yeah,
they might have had something right back then. Wow. I never thought I'd say that. But yeah, I led the league in OPS five separate times. He won two MVPs, probably should have been more. And I believe that he won the first 12 straight Gold Gloves for the NL center fielders. Yep. I think that the first one was introduced.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah, I think the first one here I see is 1957. I believe that was the first year it was introduced. He also led the league in triples that year. I mean, what could this man not do? he pushed the limits of what baseball even was, what people thought was capable of happening. In a baseball career, it's just crazy. And like, yeah, I mean, just take an hour and read his baseball reference page, read his Fangraphs page. I mean, just whatever you can, because the stats are just completely insane. And again, did it all with a smile on his face. He played the game with so much love. And that's probably why he was this good. Honestly, you have to really enjoy something to be this good at it. I would say.
Yeah, there's so many times where a player will be pointed out having played the game the right way. And I don't know that you can say that without mentioning Willie Mays.
Yeah.
And I'm talking like I was there. I was very much not there, but you know, just looking back on it all, and obviously the way he's talked about, the way the all-time greats, you know, the people I respect, right, talk about him, it's very easy to tell that he was one of those guys, that he was, you know, infectious, like his just enthusiasm, love for the game. It was just truly special. So rest in peace, Willie Mays. You're truly one of the all-time greats, and this game would not be the same without you.
Yeah, and I heard real quick, I want to mention, I heard Rich Eisen say this from his show, but I really agreed with it, so I wanted to say it. If there was ever going to be a logo change or an alternate logo for Major League Baseball, the catch, I'm just saying, it's a very iconic play. If they wanted, it would probably be like an alt logo, because obviously the MLB logo is pretty iconic. I don't think they're going to change that.
I'm not a baseball purist or traditionalist or anything like that, but I kind of like the MLB logo. But
yeah, I do too. I absolutely do. But if they do like an alt, that could be cool to do that as a tribute to Willie Mays, and because really his impact will never leave this game. I mean, no, you can't talk about the history of baseball without him. So,
yep,
yeah, really good stuff. And then, you know, we talk about Willie himself, but also the Negro Leagues in general were celebrated this week with the Rick Wood game. And I thought personally they did a damn good job. I'm talking all around the setup of the field, the events that were happening during, before, during, and after the games, and the broadcast. I thought the broadcast was pretty phenomenal. They really didn't hold anything back. They really let these guys tell the stories. And that was the really cool part about it, is that they had all of these players from the Negro Leagues, from the Birmingham Black Barons, who were originally technically the second team there, because the White Barons were the first team. But I would say that more people probably remember the Black Barons, because Willie Mays and Bill Greason and Satchel Paige came through there. Josh Gibson, I believe, played there as well. And I just thought they did a really good job of letting the stories kind of come through, and not you know, muddling it up with other you know, weird interviews. They didn't have any stat cast. Yeah. There was no strike zone box. It was all about the game and the stories, and there was nothing. It was nothing else. And you know, I'm a huge stat nerd. I love Statcast. Trust me. But I felt for that specific game, I really enjoyed that there was no box and there was no Statcast. I mean, it just kind of almost transported you back to just those old days of you know, like when you didn't have your exit velo on your 110 mile per hour line drive. It was just a frozen rope. That ball didn't go 457 feet. It went out of sight. So I kind of loved the old school aspect there. And just some really great stories. I think my favorite part of the entire thing was when they had Bob Kendrick, who is the director of the Negro League Museum. They had him I think they kept him in there for like two full innings, because like he was just such a joy to listen to. He was telling so many different stories about anything he could think of. I'm sure that's kind of his job to do anyways, is to tell stories. And I mean, he transported me right back to, it felt like I was there. Like, the dude was an incredible storyteller. And he told one story about Satchel Paige, and about how he was talking to a group of people at the museum in Kansas City, and telling a story about Satchel Paige's B-ball. And he said that, when he asked the crowd if anyone knew why Satchel called it the B-ball, a little white kid raised his hand and told him exactly why. And it was because the ball bees where he wants it to be when he wants it to be there. And I thought it was really cool. First of all, that story was awesome. And second of all, I thought it was cool and also important that he distinctly mentioned that the kid was white. Because like I feel like a lot of people could say that like that's not our history, that's their history. But we really all need to learn about this. We all need to be aware of what happened, and not shy away from it, because the history of baseball and this country isn't necessarily pretty. And But that's a very cool part of the history is Satchel Paige, the B-ball. But I just loved that the fact that younger generations are still learning about this and still enjoying it, and apparently it's because he's played the MLB The Show, and that's just like that's so cool.
Yeah,
to think that like we're still to this day that there are kids learning about this stuff and enjoying it and being interested. And yeah, I think that's also another thing. I'll cut my ramble short here in a minute, but another thing was when he talked about Buck O'Neill, he established the museum in the first place, and essentially he said it was very simple, but he said it was because he wanted everyone to be remembered. And that's not just for baseball, but it's also just for American history. Like these black baseball players were a part of the fabric of this country. And it wasn't necessarily a pretty fabric. I mean, they were ostracized and they were separated, and they just did the best that they could with what they had. And we have to look that in the face. That's what happened. And we have to look that in the face so it won't happen again. But you know, throughout all the heavy history and then the sad aspects of it, there was also the incredible celebration of all these great, amazing Negro League players. Bill Greason was cracking me up as when he did the first pitch, because the announcer right in the middle of it, while giving all the flowers, the attributes, you know, to his wonderful career, also just happens to mention that he's 99 years old, and Bill Greason literally like raised his hands out like, why'd you gotta say that? Come on, like, can I just throw this first pitch? I was loving that. But it was a great celebration all around, for sure.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, what I was talking about with Willie Mays. Like, this is a celebration for sure. And I think you know, the Field of Dreams game, when it first was announced and obviously played, like it was cool because it was a spectacle. And they were very cautious and maybe just focused not to make this a spectacle but to make it more of a celebration and just honor something that should have been honored and done a long time ago. But I thought they handled it very, very well. And you could tell, like, they just kind of, they certainly had like production in place and had an idea of what they wanted to do. And obviously, you know, all of that, but they also did a really good job of just like giving these players, former players, the platform to just kind of, you know, be themselves. Right. And kind of let their personality shine.
Because awesome.
Yeah. And it was truly awesome. Like, we didn't need any scripted anything or other. Like, we just got to see these players and, you know, behind the curtains, view of the good and the bad. And obviously, you know, the good is much more entertaining, but they also did a good job of letting these players talk about the atrocities they had to go through just to play the game that we all love. And I, you know, there was several instances where I thought the broadcast did a good job of it, but probably none more so than Reggie Jackson. And just what he had to say, and listen, it was uncomfortable. But that's the point, right? We kind of have to, and Trey, you talked about, like, we just have to acknowledge the history of this, because it's our history. It's not their history. Obviously they had to go through it, and that's just incredibly just awful, but it's important to remember that this happened, and, you know, nothing we can do now or say now will rectify that, but we can at least acknowledge it and try to be better. And I thought what Reggie Jackson said, you know, just really was sobering, because, like, we, you know, look at Reggie Jackson in particular, like Mr. October, the straw that stirs the drink, and all, like, all this personality and stuff. But my God, like, the things he had to go through, I don't think many of us could have gone through what he went through and still had the strength to keep going. But I also like that he pointed out, like, his teammates and his manager in particular, that, you know, really helped him along the way. And Trey, correct me if I'm wrong, you're gonna put that in here, right? So I'll stop talking
Yeah.
about it.
Either I already did or I will.
Okay. I'll
And I
stop
haven't
talking
decided
about
yet.
it and let you guys listen. But it was truly just like we got a little bit of everything with this, and I hope it's a kind of like a yearly thing, because it shouldn't just be one and done. This should be a yearly thing.
Yeah, we need to continue to remember these great legends. And I think that you nailed it right there when you were talking about Reggie. You know, these guys are human beings. Like, although he was Mr. October and he was this larger than life figure, I think his statements really, you know, it kind of put into perspective, like, these guys had to deal with that stuff. And like, it goes a couple different ways in the Jim Crow South. And he said, and I quote, "I might be hanging from an oak tree," which is just it's disgusting to even think about. And it's like, that was not that long ago.
Like, that's the thing. And like, people were like, "Oh, that's in the past." Like, you know, I have family members that are very much like, "Oh, it's in the past. Why are you talking about it?" I was like, this wasn't long ago. Like, there's
people
plenty
who were
of people
involved in
that are still alive that went through that. Obviously, I mean, we're hearing from Reggie Jackson, but like, you know, I'm talking about people in your family. You know, we're not that far removed, so it's not like this thing that happened in the, you know, 1400s or something crazy like that. Like, this was, you know, not even 100 years ago.
Yeah, and the people who, you know, perpetuated that hate are, some of them are still alive. And probably in Congress, but I digress.
Ooh, I love it.
We don't want to be focused too much on the negative stuff here, because it was a celebration. But at the same time, like, you got to be aware that this stuff happened, and that there's still some of it happening today, and we still have a lot of work to do to improve it. And also, before we wrap this part up as well, Black baseball in general is struggling, just because, you know, there's a lot of different factors. You know, other sports have become more popular, like football and basketball, but also baseball is expensive. And I know that you are involved in travel, and I'm sure that some of these fees, some of the travel fees for some of these kids, like, they're getting priced out. And they're, you know, Major League Baseball has done some good work to try and rectify that with the RBI program and other things. But there's still a lot more to do. It's never, I think it's a battle that's never going to end, like, which, you know, kind of sucks to say, but it's just like, you have to keep fighting every day, basically. But yeah, I think overall it was a great thing for baseball and Black baseball in general. It was an amazing celebration. And yes, either yearly, or, you know, maybe if they want to switch it up every year and do Field of Dreams 1 year and Rick Wood the next or whatever, but definitely want to see more games there. And more hear more stories about all the great,
because there's plenty, there's
so,
so
much.
Many
and we got to do it, you know, while these guys are still alive too, if we can try and continue to honor them, because, you know, it's great to honor people obviously that have passed away, but it's even better to see them get their flowers. Exactly. Because I you know, seeing Bill Greeson, that dude was so happy that everyone, and he said it multiple times, that he was blessed to be a part of it. And I was just like, you know, baseball's got to be pretty damn great to go through what those guys went through,
and then
all for the love of the game.
Still have the love for the game that they do.
They weren't getting paid that much to do this. They were getting stuff thrown at them, heckled, called awful things, and yet they were willing to kind of ignore it, essentially, so they could play baseball. Just truly incredible stuff.
Yep, for sure.
As a veteran, I live with health impacts from my service. VA healthcare means you're in 100% control of your own medical care, your own benefits, and it only takes minutes to set up. A veteran should enroll in VA healthcare because it ensures that they get quality, high-level care for the rest of their lives. My service was then, my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's pivot a little bit. Again, I have no issues criticizing Major League Baseball when I deem it appropriate, but I thought they did a really good job with everything this past week. So
yeah, credit where it's due. They did pretty well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So let's pivot to some other news around the league. I was obviously out last week, but one thing that really stood out to me and kind of plays, because obviously Mookie Betts is a black baseball player, but he is out for a significant amount of time, broken bone in his hand after a hit by pitch. He wasn't the only one. There was a couple around the league, but obviously Mookie being one of the bigger names in baseball. Hit by pitch, specifically in the hand, this is a little bit of a tangent. I'm surprised we haven't invented some sort of, protective gear. Like we have it for the elbow, the shin guard, things like that. I'm surprised we haven't had something for the hand. With it feels like once a year, someone big name, maybe just because we're in Nats fans and, it's happened a couple of times.
Yeah, but, Trey Turner.
Remember. Yeah, exactly. it's shocking that they haven't protected or found some sort of protection for the hands. At least for the actual hand part, the fingers, it is what it is. But that is substantial for obviously plenty of reasons. Mookie Betts being one of the best baseball players in the game. The Dodgers as a whole, their shortstop issues were well known, so much so that they moved Mookie from a Gold Glove right fielder to shortstop, right? The NL MVP discussion is now very much wide open, because I thought it was Mookie's fairly easily, granted, him continuing to do what he had been doing, but now it's wide open with all these injuries, and the leader is probably Shohei Ohtani, which isn't crazy in and of itself because it's Shohei Ohtani, but it is with the fact that Shohei's only playing DH right now. So Trey, are we going to get our first designated hitter MVP?
Well, if there was ever a chance, Nick, I'd say it would be Ohtani, because one, he's obviously an incredible player, and he is right now in terms of F4 leading the National League in position players.
Yep.
And that's despite being a full time DH. So that means his numbers are just so much better than everyone. And that's actually, that's pretty accurate.
He's so worth that $2 million a year contract.
Yeah, I think so. I think he might be worth $2 million. That's crazy how that contract's structured.
I will I wouldn't be surprised if Bryce has an insane second half and then they give it to him.
I was going to bring him up because he's getting hot. Mm-hmm. And he is a position player, and he has been playing full-time first base and playing full-time first base at a high level, even though
he's been
obviously first base isn't. They don't really care that much about defense. It's still a positive if he's doing a good job. It's probably only behind Christian Walker in terms of first base defense.
Future Nat.
But give us some stability over there. So Bryce is probably the next best guy right now, because Mookie's going to miss too much time to get back into it, probably, even though he's done a lot of excellent work already towards a potential MVP campaign. Another guy to watch out for, I think. Now, this is kind of a long shot, but it's not that long of a shot, actually, looking at it right now, but Ellie De La Cruz.
Oh, really? Okay. I was wondering where you were going to go.
Yeah, well, because the thing about De La Cruz is right now the bat isn't quite at MVP level, but everything else is. So let's say he has a good month and a half stretch with the bat, gets his WRC plus up to 140, and then he's got all these stolen bases. He's been an excellent defender. And if it's between him and a full-time DH, do they give it to the position player there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It is tough. I think if it was another DH besides Ohtani, it would be harder. Yeah. But because he's kind of known as this
baseball
pedigree. God, he's got the pedigree. we obviously know why he's DHing. We know that he would be pitching if he could.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, another DH who is always a DH. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, a lot can go different in the next. You know, we were only halfway through, so there's still a full other half of baseball to be played. But right now, it would probably be Shohei for me if we had to pick right now.
I would agree. I'm just it's going to be fascinating to see if they finally like. It was stupid they wouldn't really give it to one before, but now it's going to be fascinating that, you know, they're forced into a decision and we really get some clarity on the matter.
Assuming he continues to stay at this level above everyone else, that because he's really out hitting everyone in the National League.
He's so good. Speaking of the National League, there was a little bit of a controversy yesterday. Edwin Diaz apparently has been doing this for a while, according to himself. got ejected for some sticky stuff. What were your immediate reactions to Edwin Diaz being the latest to I guess it hasn't been officially announced yet, but we can assume that he'd be serving a 10-game suspension.
I think it's funny that it happens to the Mets, just because
always the Mets.
It's always the Mets. It's just I'm confused because there's no standard for the ejections. It's all subjective. And then you also have these instances of other guys being allowed to wash their hands. Why couldn't he do that? I don't get it.
It's the ump show.
And more than likely, it was probably sweat and rosin because that it gets really sticky. It does. Like and there's no testing being done to see what substance it was. So it's all vague. The umpires are never held accountable. If he was cheating, then yeah, he should be ejected. But like, I'm not really that worried about sticky stuff ejections, unless they're using they're really probably not getting away with using the really spin conducive stuff like spider tack. Most dudes right now are using sweat and rosin, and like pretty much every time. So unless there's a definitive test that tells me that he was using something other than that, I really don't care. And the way the umps have been going this year, I really don't care.
Yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Sunscreen, rosin, two items that it's not like that big of a stretch to assume a baseball player would have. You know, they're playing in 95 degree sunlight every single day. Yeah, you're going to have some sunscreen on you. You're going to use rosin if you're a pitcher. Those things mix. It's a fantastic sticky substance. So, you know, they should use it.
And most batters would say that they should too, because like if it's 95 degrees in the summer heat, I think I'd rather have the dude have control of where the ball's going rather than letting it slip out of 100%. His hands and hit me in the face.
100%. Yep. I should have talked about this after the NL MVP discussion, but we'll end on this. Stephen Kwan for AL MVP?
I mean, no, not right now, because also he's not qualified.
You actually thought about it. You thought about it.
Judge and Juan Soto are all in the AL. The AL is way better right now. But like, man, he's going off. I really am excited to see how well he's played. And his slugging percentage has really come up as well. I mean, we've all known he can hit for average and he's got a good eye. But if he's going to slug too, watch out. But yeah, no, he's been really, really fantastic.
Yep, he's been great, and the Guardians as a whole have been great.
Absolutely.
Way better than I think anyone would have thought.
Taking my L on them too, because there's no 100%. I did not see this.
Yep, hand up, my bad.
Yeah.
All right, well, that does it for this episode. We appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back next week diving into some actually, I don't know what.
I think we're going to do All-Stars?
All-Stars?
Yeah,
I think we're doing All-Stars next
All-Stars,
week. So it's going to be a really fun conversation. I don't know when the rosters are exactly announced, but we can give our picks and, you know, kind of do a quick preview on what to expect from All-Star Week. And then the week after that, somewhere around there, we're going to be talking MLB Draft, which happens during the All-Star Week as well. So it's going to be a great couple weeks of district baseball, just as it will be a great couple weeks of baseball in general. But in the meantime, follow us on Twitter at DistrictBSB, Trey at Reverse2R2S, myself at Coach Moose. We appreciate you listening. Be sure to like, subscribe, comment, review, all that good stuff. But in the meantime, let's go baseball.
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.